And now it's all about the preparations for the campaign. It starts Friday. Never done that. It's a different. It's not a town hall meeting anymore. Now it's a campaign rally, and you have to give a speech. And I don't want to read materials from paper. I want to talk. So I'll probably have just 5 bullets, the major themes, and then talk about it. And then the issue is, I have to figure out those 5. Because you have to organize. Now it's about organizing your message. What is it that you will do? Up to this point, I talked about the issues, conceptual problems, potential solutions. Now we have to talk about concrete actions that I would actually do, like a program. Mm-hmm. And I have been having conversations with many people about many elements of what could possibly be done, given what I'm interested in. And arriving at a couple of few major themes. We're going to have a press conference Friday morning. And then about noon, we're going to go to Tuzla and go from there. I'm not going to be alone. One of the one of our PR firms is owned by one of the major theater actors and comedians and whatever. He's going to be on stage with me to introduce me. He's going to do his half an hour thing. And then it's going to be me, and there will be one classical guitar player. He's one of the world's best. He's from that town. So it's going to be very different, really. You know, normally in Bosnia, you have this 6-7 people local and from the party who come and talk about issues and introduce, and then the main speaker is the last speaker, and everybody just waits for the last speaker to say something. It's about an hour and a half into it, and then he talks or she talks for half an hour. We're going to change that. I'm going to just have one person talk before me, and then I'm going to talk, then open it for questions. So it's going to be a conversation rather than let me tell you what I think, and then I leave. So we'll see. It's going to be the first one. You don't know what to expect.
What are your thoughts? Now, with you've been on out, we put parentheses around campaigning, but, I mean, it's official. It starts on Friday. Your personal thoughts about moving forward. It's here.
Right, it's here, and everybody says it is going to be easier because the schedule is going to be more manageable, because thus far I visited like 30 cities, 30 or towns or villages, and the schedule was grueling. However, and they said we're going to have only 10 major rallies this time, so it's going to be different, but there will be many other things, trying to figure out the policy, find the right people who will help me, support. There will be face-offs on TV with other candidates. There will be conversations about alliances with other parties. There will be conversations about other people dropping out of the race and giving me sort of their support. Like, there will be people who will ask me to drop from the race and then to support them. And so it is going to be different. Don't know what to expect. I've never seen their face-offs and conversations, panels. So we'll see. They call them here face-offs, right? When we have people running for the same office on the same stage, discussing the policies and comparing their approaches. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad that it's getting into that the last month. It is going to be obvious that we don't have money, and that is going to hurt us. Other parties, the major parties, will flood every city, every town, every village with their billboards, with their posters, their messages on local TVs, on national TVs. They will have the money to put their candidates in every major television show. And it's going to be obvious that we're going to be absent. So we'll see if our guerrilla campaign will make any dent. But, you know, wherever we go, wherever we talk to, something positive happens. And I have many secret meetings, people who cannot be seen with me. But they want to tell me that they're supporting me, and the people who are supporting them will support me. There will be some people who will come out publicly in favor of me supporting me, but toward the end of the campaign, because they're afraid that their support to Leon might backfire, and some of them are controversial figures. So that's interesting. There are people who would like to talk to me, but they are or publicly support me, but they are controversial, and their support might be more of a minus than a plus. But toward the end of the campaign, anything is possible. And there is also, you know, it is true that the most important thing is to be in the news. Sometimes people say, yeah, all advertising is good advertising. And even if people talk about me from the negative point of view, still your name is in front of everybody else. So they say, you know, there was one advice that was given to me about a month and a half ago, Mirsad, you need, and I told you about it. They said, you need to shock them with something good or something bad. It's irrelevant. Just shock them so they talk about you and they learn about you and then they start reading about you and then you never know what can happen. So we'll see. We'll see.
You personally? Nerves, butterflies, or do you keep it all in check?
I'm not nervous. It's interesting. Something happens on the stage. I'm getting into the different mode. I'm asking people to leave me alone an hour before, and I would like to leave me alone an hour after, but that's hard because people want to stay who came to the town hall meeting, for example, and they want to stay and talk and take a picture. You have to go through that. I would like to just disappear for an hour. That doesn't happen. But after half an hour, at least people on my team have learned that I'll get into the car and just be quiet for about half an hour. Not thinking about anything, just try to relax. Before the town hall meeting, I'm thinking about the message and how to structure the conversation and what to emphasize, what to de-emphasize. And I feel more and more tired. You know, I walk a little bit slower than before. But then I get on the stage and then everything, you forget everything. And then you start talking and you see. And it's always an interesting challenge. They're very quiet. They suddenly get into it. You see that a different person who shows up that's very different from other politicians, different tone of voice, different message, and they get quiet. You Bosnians don't get quiet easily. They talk, they continue conversations, separate conversations at the tables, even if you're in a restaurant, for example, even though you are talking. Doesn't happen. Quiet, you can hear a drop of a pin. And then you feed off of that, and you start talking about it, and you see their eyes, and you see the reaction, and you get into it, and it becomes performance, and it's fine. I can be there for 5 hours. I can talk about anything, take questions. Any question is fine. But the moment it stops, you feel the heaviness of the world. You know, you see how tired you are. That is happening more and more, and so I'm glad there's going to be just 10 as opposed to 30 town hall meetings. So can you give me more time to get ready and prepared, and for us to fine tune the message and everything else. So whatever it is before disappears when I take the stage, and that's fine. People feel that. So I'm okay. I'll be fine. I don't know what's ahead of me. I don't know. It's going to get nasty and dirty. We'll see. So in that sense, there's some anxiety just to see what kind of process unfold.
Well, do you change anything moving forward or just keep doing what you've been doing?
I've been exploring various messages. It's very clear to me, at least I think, what Bosnia needs to do, what needs to be done. But it is not clear that the audience appreciates that or the way I say it. And so I'm adjusting constantly and trying to find different ways to say the same thing, trying to get them to educate them to care enough. But it is obvious that the message will have to become, I have to find the best examples. I have to figure out the theme and then the key messages. And then examples that will convey the key messages in a way that people understand. That is changing constantly from town to town, has changed. There was a person who basically saw me last week in one of the town hall meetings. And he came to me and said, "Mirsad, I saw you at the national TV when you announced the candidacy, January 12th. I liked you a lot, and that's when I got hooked. But today, you were 10 times better." And that's simply that transformation you make as you talk to people and present. You find a way to convey the message that will be more easily understood by the audience. So now it's a different challenge. It's no longer about what I want to do, but how I will go about doing it. That will take also fine-tuning. But we'll see.
Overall mood of your campaign team. It's here for them too. What are their thoughts?
Yeah, we had this weekend, based on the suggestion of one of our young volunteers, we decided to do a guerrilla campaign and to just blanket Sarajevo with our A4 messages, a black message on a white paper that basically said, "Think with your own head." And underneath the hashtag was, "Be a spark too," which is a slogan of our campaign. We didn't advertise Mirsad. We just basically, if somebody wants to know what it is, would put in a hashtag and would find us online. And all our posts have been marked with or labeled with the hashtag "Be a plug to spark plug." Be a spark too. There was a team of about 35 people, from what I was told, that spread throughout the city and was putting that everywhere. They got so excited about that it was concrete, it came from them, they got a permission to do it, and they found innovative ways of putting it somewhere. And then talking to people who were witnessing them doing it, "What are you doing? What is that?" So that was done on Sunday night. Monday night we had a team meeting. And it was a different atmosphere. Everybody's so excited that it happened. They participated and said, "Yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to do that." And suddenly that was for the first time probably ever in this campaign that everybody was excited about what can be done, how they can participate. They clearly saw their role. Some people knew it, advisors from left and right. The others who basically said, "Oh, this is concrete, this is real, and we're changing the world." And just the fact that it was concrete and real, it wasn't really talking about something, but doing something, changed the atmosphere. So everybody commented on that afterwards. "Well, we're in the campaign, and we are going to do it guerrilla way. We're going to have to find our way. It's going to be different." And the sense of ownership was obvious. It was great.
You call them face-offs, debates, however we want to classify them. Now, do you know about those in advance, or do they come up on relatively short notice, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, these days, they come in advance. We've got a call from three TV stations who basically said they would like to have those debates, face-offs, on certain dates, days, and asking us if we are interested in. And they can just save the date. And so, of course, we accept all. We're not sure who will show up, because the major parties usually avoid sending their representatives to those debates. They think that they can only lose. They have their voting bloc. They often don't have the best candidates, and they basically don't want them to show up in any light that's not favorable compared to other candidates. And if they cannot guarantee that, they just basically say, we don't want to participate. And so it might be that in those debates, we will have people who are considered to be second-tier runners for the office, or candidates for the office. We'll see. But for me, it is an opportunity to talk about anything in front of larger audience and just to show my face. So they remember. The good thing is that I, by the luck of the draw, am the first of the six candidates listed for my side of presidency. So, and now we are using that because we have they published the ballot, so we have an electronic version of the ballot. And a lot of people from the U.S. or the diaspora, they vote with the absentee ballots. And they take a picture and with an X next to my name and say, I voted too, and this is my vote. And so we're going to start using that as one of the campaign themes, like vote for the number one or something like that. Vote sure. for number one. And so, just by the luck of the draw, on the Bosniak side, we ended up being listed first, which is going to be helpful for some people who will show up with no reason, with no idea who they want to vote for. And maybe it's easier to vote for number one than for number five. So.
That's what they say. Good for you. You didn't even have to try to do that one.
You know, it didn't try to do that, except for one thing. I'm an independent candidate, but if I was truly defined myself as an independent candidate, then they told me you're going to go last. They first list political parties, organizations, then independent candidates. Then I would have been last immediately, by definition, as being the only independent candidate. So they told us, form a political organization, and at least you go into the luck of the draw. But then we had to form something because I did not want to take the nations received in my personal. So we formed a political organization that's not a party, cannot accept. We don't have members or anything, but allowed us to open an account in the bank, rent an office, and hire people. And we call it Platform for Progress. So it's Mustafa Hadzikadik-Platform for Progress. Because of that, now, when I officially registered with the Electoral Commission, Central Electoral Commission, I had to be listed as a political organization, and I'm running as a candidate of that political organization for the office. But now I entered into the luck of the draw. That luck of the draw was in the first place.
Take it.
Yeah, exactly.